He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Friday, January the 16th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. We have a mixed market today, meaning one is up. One of the major indexes is up, the NASDAQ and the S&P, actually. Now, the NASDAQ is up 48 points, and the S&P is up just 4. But the Dow right now is down 100 points as we've had a few bank stocks here report earnings this morning. We've got the Russell 2000 kind of splitting the difference there. It is up 7 points or a quarter of a percent right now. Gold is had a little bit of a, selling off, a little bit of profit taking in gold and silver this past week after a torrid run in 2025 and the first week of this year. Gold today, however, is down just a little bit. It's at 4,615, however, a very lofty number. Silver is down 3.8% at 88.85. Oil is up a little bit today, about 0.6%. And crypto, Bitcoin, is down 874 to 95,216. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, as we begin a three-day weekend. And in this newsletter that I send out hopefully sometime tomorrow afternoon, we'll have an update on earnings season, as we've had several come in this past week. J.P. Morgan, Goldman Sachs, Wells Fargo, Morgan Stanley, TSM, Taiwan Semiconductor. That was the blowout earnings report. And ASM Lithography also had a blowout earnings report. We've got several more today. But we're not really into the heart of earnings season yet. That will come next week and the 2 weeks following that.
Interesting how those two kind of put a fire under the AI stocks this week, though, in terms of boosting. Obviously, if TSM is doing well, that means they're building chips for
100%. And yeah. There's news, big news on Micron today that I'm going to go over. I think that just amplifies the fact that the AI craze is is still alive and well, very well, in fact, leading the markets higher. There's not a lot of other leadership in the market right now. We're getting a little bit of signs of life in the oil and gas patch. That has a lot to do with Venezuela and what could still happen maybe in Iran as we position our ships. That seems to me, you know, he says that he's not going in, he's going to give them a reprieve, but at the same time, there's a lot of ships repositioning from the Caribbean to the area of the Mediterranean around Iran, so I wouldn't count out some kind of strike on Iran yet. Now, we had a good day yesterday. The Dow was up 0.5%. The NASDAQ was up, but it was really two big stocks yesterday driving it all. It was TSM Semiconductor, Taiwan Semiconductor, and that pretty much lifted all boats yesterday. And you also had their compadre, ASM Lithography, which makes all the equipment to fill those plants, to build those high-speed chips. And you also had a lot of stocks playing along. You had a big day yesterday for Western Digital. NVIDIA had a very good day as we seem to be zeroing in on those H200 chips. Lam Research had another big day. Seagate had another big day. And there's a lot of news today. And, you know, I throw in the nuclear stocks, really, with the whole AI move. And there's news on the nuclear front today. You've got a couple of them that are up, and you've got a couple of them that are down. But they seem to be big players for in this data center. I guess you could say data center is at the core of it all. I mean, that's what's driving Taiwan Semi. That's what's driving NVIDIA. That's what's driving GE Vernova and on and on and on. And, of course, Micron and Seagate and Western Digital. Data center, that's what's really doing it. So anyways, you also had quite a bit of movement yesterday. I see they're selling off a little bit today. The rare earth stocks, as Trump postponed tariffs on some of those critical mineral stocks coming into the U.S. You really don't want to do that until you don't want to be putting tariffs on them until we get our own house in order. That's been going on behind the scenes with a lot of our allies around the world. They've had a couple of meetings this past week, and everybody's cooperating. They realize that we don't want to be dependent upon China for those much-needed rare earths. And then meanwhile, the drama in Greenland continues as France sends troops to the island. France warns the U.S. against Greenland seizure. I don't know that we're going to seize it. As Europe sends troops, maybe we'll send in ICE.
that acronym would work well for Greenland, right?
Yes, and that's the other hot spot in the world right now. You've got Caracas, Venezuela. You've got Tehran, Iran, and you've got Minneapolis, Minnesota of all places, which we've been there many times. And that area has changed a lot in the years I've been going to Minneapolis. And right now it's part of this ground zero. France's finance minister, Roland Lescure, warned U.S. Secretary Scott Bessent. Was this a fight in the alleyway or something after the meeting? That any move to seize Greenland would amount to a cross the line and endanger Europe's trade ties with Washington. So France warning Bessent not to step foot in Greenland, and the minister said he delivered a similar message to Bessent in Washington on Monday. Greenland is a sovereign part. Well, what's France have to do with it? Greenland is a sovereign part of a sovereign country that is part of the EU. Okay, that's France's ties to Greenland, because Denmark and France are both members of the EU. And he warned Bessent not to mess around with it. When asked if the European Union would retaliate with economic sanctions if Trump invaded Greenland, Lescure said, I mean, obviously we would. If that happened, we would be in totally new world for sure, and we would have to adapt accordingly. So I guess you got to tiptoe on the ice there in Greenland. But, you know, at the end of the day, it seems like Greenland should decide who they want to team up with, if they want to team up with all, or just keep it. I don't see the tourism really taking off there in Greenland. It looks pretty foreboding. Country to me. It's large. It's not as big as Australia. I thought it was bigger than Australia, but it's not. Australia is the biggest island. But I saw a map of Greenland today. You don't even realize it. Up in the north part of it, it curls over the globe, and you can peek over and see the other side once you're up there. It's quite a interesting thing to at least be talking about and watching the news, etc. Crude oil slides.
It's probably a lot like the Russians have found a lot of their rare earths in Siberia, so it makes sense in terms of geologically, right? And as you said, they at least the initial surveys that have been taken are that there's a pretty pretty healthy concentration of those rare earth minerals.
Yeah, I would say you could compare it a lot to Alaska, which was untamed territory, obviously, when we bought it from Russia. And in came the railroads and the crabbing boats. You had to get those crabbing boats in there to get those king crabs. It, just the king crabs alone, I guess, was worth Alaska and the halibut. Just for the halibut, we took Alaska. Crude oil slides by the most since June as Iran risk premium fades. Well, I listened to all sides last night on this Iran. I think he's getting his ducks in a row. That's what I think. I think that we don't have the ships there. We didn't expect this to heat up as quickly as it has. And I think Trump's getting his ducks in a row there so he can at least threaten, hey, no more hangings, no more killings. We'll be right back.
The city of New Orleans. I'll be gone 500 miles when the day is done.
Back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now radio show. Halliburton CEO sees speedy return to Venezuela, and he downplays the risk. I guess he's told Hegseth, hey, when we send a boat out there to the rigs, don't shoot it down, okay? Don't blow it up in the water. But Halliburton could be active within months in helping to rebuild Venezuela's dilapidated. That's what you get when you get a thug leader who's tied to the mob, the drug lords. You get dilapidated oil and gas structures. I saw that we got the U.S. Sold some Venezuelan oil on the markets. It fetched 30% more for Venezuelan crude than Venezuela did weeks ago. And that comes from our energy secretary, Chris Wright, who knows something about the oil and gas industry. He was the CEO of Liberty Energy, a publicly traded company.
Well, and that's what happens to discounted oil when you're, you know, basically selling it on a market when it's not really supposed to be sold initially, right? I mean, the reason Venezuela was getting, same reason Russia's selling their oil to India and other countries that will actually buy it at a much cheaper rate is because of the sanctions that those countries were under.
Yeah, so, 100%. He says, yeah, we're getting about 30% higher realized price when we sell the same barrel of oil that they sold just 3 weeks ago.
Because it's legal.
Because, yeah, it's legal. And so anyways, and that money's going to go to the people of Venezuela, or to the current government of Venezuela. And of course, you had you had Machado, not Manny. He's the third baseman for the Padres. I don't think there's any relationship, but she's the opposition leader in Venezuela. She played nice. She visited the White House yesterday. She gave Trump her peace prize that she won for what Trump did for the Venezuelans. I got a hunch that, you know, somehow they're going to wiggle her in there as the leader. But, you know, I think also he wants to have a free and open election and let them choose whether they want. The lady that's taken over now was basically the same ideology as Maduro. She's a communist and she's a leftist, and but she is playing ball with the White House. She doesn't want to be attacked again, but Machado at the same time is visiting the White House as the opposition leader. And I think that's how you make money off this whole Venezuela thing. I think it's the oil and gas service stocks, the ones that have to rebuild the infrastructure, okay? They make money no matter what the price of oil is. They're rebuilding the infrastructure. Just like Levi's, selling the Levi's during the gold, the 49er gold boom in California, and the ones that sold the picks and the shovels and everything, they're the ones that made the money while very few gold miners made any money. And I don't think it's going to be the Exxons and the Chevrons. I think it's going to be more the Halliburtons, the Schlumbergers, and a lot of these smaller companies, Precision Drillers.
And you said that from the beginning. I mean,
yeah.
That first Monday we came back, from that happening over the weekend, and obviously, that's one name that we like that you added to the mix, Halliburton.
And it's the same way in the AI. So far, OpenAI and Grok and ChatGPT aren't making a lot of money, but the guys building the infrastructure. The guys that are air conditioning the data centers, the guys that are lining the data centers with the chips and the servers and everything else that goes along with it, they're the ones that are printing money right now. And we'll talk about Western Digital here in a minute. The latest news, and here's another infrastructure play on this, is the nuclear power plants. Trump to push for emergency auction to get tech firms funding new power plants. Well, that's a novel concept. Let the tech firms that need the power, let them pay for it. Let them fund these new power plants. Now, I see a couple of nuke stocks are down today on this news. Vistra is down, and Constellation are down, because I guess that's competition coming in, more supply, but it's not coming in anytime soon, and I see GE Vernova is up on this news. It's like, having an auction on oil, tracts of oil. The White House said its National Energy Dominance Council and governors of several states, including Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Virginia, want to try to push the grid operators to take urgent steps to boost energy supply and curb high price hikes. I mean, what they don't want is the taxpayer and the little guy powering his microwave and his PC paying for the juice that these data that tech is going to use in these data centers.
Obviously the one thing about the utility industry, very, very highly regulated industry, and the consumer, right? I mean, it's really unfair to have them trying to compete against these multi-billion, trillion-dollar firms, right, for something as basic as power, right?
I mean, yeah, exactly.
It's going to be an interesting dynamic over time.
It's just energy fever right now taking place across America, and it's being driven by it's being driven by people we don't really like, Meta and Zuckerberg and Microsoft and Peachy over at Google and all the others.
All the companies everyone despises but has to, has to have.
But we use their stuff every day.
Right.
Okay, have we found any bonds to buy here recently?
There's been a few issues. The problem is just, from the rate standpoint, I've saw in the news, it looks like Trump's found some bonds.
That's
to
what
buy.
I was just
is that where you're
say.
Getting to?
Okay. Trump put $50 million into the bond market.
Yeah.
He's like us. He doesn't buy alternatives. He buys bonds with a set duration. A date that you get your money back and the coupon along the way. I think that's the best alternative if you're a safe investor looking for a safe investment. I don't think you need structured notes. I don't think you need private debt. I don't think you need private equity. I think if you just want a pretty secure outcome, buying individual bonds, and he's bought some of the ones we own. He bought debt issued by Netflix. We own a Netflix bond.
Yeah, we do.
He bought debt on CoreWeave. Okay, we should have. I didn't see that.
That's probably a convertible.
I think it was a convertible.
I think it was. That's why we didn't.
He bought debt on General Motors, which I wouldn't have a hard time doing. Boeing, that's a good one. Occidental Petroleum and United Rentals. He's got a pretty good bond.
Yeah, United Rentals too, yeah.
Not bad at all. We'll be right back.
You can't turn him into a boy. And the boys upstairs just don't understand anymore.
much. Anyone play what they say to play.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. And there is a lot of news on Micron today. MU, after, of course, the big report yesterday from Taiwan Semiconductor. And another thing we've learned about data centers, not only do they use a lot of chips, NVIDIA chips, they also use a lot of flash memory, big time. I mean, the demand for flash memory, I don't know if that's the right, it's there's different kinds. There's PVM,
memory in general, yeah.
There's NAND, right. There's all kinds of different flash or different kinds of memory. You know, when I think about it, I think of the chips you put into a camera or whatever, and it stores just a lot of, you know, a lot of storage on that little, even those little tiny microchips that we use nowadays. Number one, Micron shares rise after the company disclosed that its director, Tien Liu, bought 23,000 shares of common stock. I think we own more than that, Barry, here at Gunderson Capital. I'd have to look it up, but I think we own more than that in a total transaction, $7.8 million. So, you know, that's always a good thing to see somebody on the board.
Right.
Who has obviously visits the plants, sees the people they're calling in to get the chips made, sees the orders, the material being ordered to make the chips, blah, 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 on down the line. And I'm just going to look at how Micron stock, it's probably one of the hottest stocks in the entire market. It's up again, another new high today, 5.7%. And I probably can disclose this at this point in time. And the first newsletter that came out of this year, and I can't remember what the first day of this year was, but it was right at the beginning of the year.
I think it was going to be January 2nd, because the first,
yeah,
I think,
okay,
was on a Friday. So yeah.
And, you know, it was time for predictions and conviction picks and this and that. And last year, my conviction pick was Palantir. Number one stock in the S&P 500, Gunderson. You nailed it. One out of 500. You had one chance in 500. You can do the probability, the predictability, the odds of picking the number one winner. Gunderson nailed it. This year, I picked two, and I'll disclose one of them was Micron Technology, MU. It's in a unique spot.
It shot out of the gates.
Ooh,
this year, too.
Wow. And so far, it's been a good pick. And I also said I reserve the right to I don't want to report back a year from now on how it did, because I don't know if this it's in a squeeze. It's in a pinch right now.
Kind of like how silver was in a pinch, isn't it?
Yes,
pinch, you know?
And that just drives the stock to giddy heights until things get worked out. And they will get worked out. There will come a day when I've seen the flash memory guys crying the blues, singing the blues, because there's too much supply. And that's what happens, because they're ramping up as quickly as they can. In fact, yesterday, or today, I should have went to this. This is kind of cool. Micron is breaking ground on a $100 billion memory manufacturing complex in Onondaga County, New York. Now, why they've chosen New York, I don't know, but New York is also home to Global Foundry, so New York's becoming somewhat of a foundry state. Of course, Micron is headquartered in Boise, Idaho. They called it the largest semiconductor facility in the United States. They're breaking ground on it today. And this was part of the Trump tariffs, which I said would work. Gunderson was right again. The tariffs have worked. The market's hitting new highs. Inflation, earnings have not been hit at all. If anything, earnings have gone higher since the tariffs were put in place. Now, we've got the Supreme Court hanging over that. We'll have to see how they weigh in. But anyways, at least for now, it didn't interfere with the markets. And I made that call when the S&P was at 4,800 and on April 8th, the exact bottom of the market. That's why you want to listen to the Best Stocks Now show. Micron is going to generate 50,000 jobs in New York.
50,000? 50,000 jobs? Wow. Okay.
If you've got his kid sitting on the couch playing video games and he's 19 years old, 20 years old, I remember when a bunch of guys went to Fargo, North Dakota. Remember the big shale boom, Continental Resources, and Harold Hamm, and everybody who headed to Fargo, made of killing. I know a kid right now, he goes to the West Texas oil fields about 2 weeks out of the month and then comes home, makes a ton of money. Now it's going to be making chips in Onondaga County, New York, the largest semiconductor facility in the United States. The facility, like I say, 50, it's not expected to even start the production of chips, that is, until 2030. So you see, there's no immediate relief for the demand to ramp up that supply. It takes time. It's the largest private investment in New York state history. Take that,
wow.
Donald Trump.
Wow.
Micron's central New York project will be home to the most advanced memory manufacturing in the world and will meet the growing demands of AI systems and devices that are central to the modern economy, the company said. As part of the development, Micron plans to invest $250 million in workforce development. They're going to train you. They're going to educate you. They're going to transport you. They're going to house you.
That's a sizable amount of workers.
Yeah.
I didn't realize, you know, a lot of these things, especially as technology keeps taking over, it's like, you know, you get some huge, like a huge Amazon factory, and it's like 500 people work there, you know, or whatever, because you've got a lot of automation. But in that sense, 50,000, that's a big complex.
It's the biggest private investment ever in the state of New York. The CEO is there today with officials from the Trump administration. Last year, Micron, this was during the tariff time, announced plans to expand its U.S. investments to around $150 billion. In domestic memory manufacturing, and $50 billion in R&D, creating an estimated 90,000 jobs. So there you go. You know, that was part of the Bessent interview. I heard that, look, we want to put these tariffs to bring manufacturing home. Now, you know, look, the little toy model trains and stuff like that, that's not what they were after. This is exactly what they were after. Instead of building these chips in Korea or Taiwan or Vietnam or wherever, or China, no, we're going to build them in New York, made in New York. Now, that wasn't the only deal announced yesterday. U.S.-Taiwan chip deal. You just see that? You had Taiwanese companies will invest at least $250 billion to expand chip, energy, and AI production and capacity in the U.S. under a newly announced trade agreement. That happened yesterday. I know he lowered the tariffs from, I think, 25 to 15 or 20 to 15, one of those. Taiwanese tech companies will directly invest $250 billion to expand chip, energy and AI production in the U.S. Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick said that as part of the new Taiwan deal, chip-making giant Taiwan Semiconductor will be expanding its operations in Arizona soon. And why is that important? Well, you've got Chinese Navy and Air Force circling Taiwan on a 24/7 basis, wanting to take Taiwan back.
And TSM being the largest publicly traded Asian company.
Yes.
So, I mean,
Commerce Secretary said that Taiwan Semiconductor just bought hundreds of acres adjacent to their property, and they're going to get quick approval by the U.S. government, and they're going to build facilities in the U.S. And if you don't build in the U.S., you could face a 100% tariff. So there you go. I mean, there's two massive chip investments in the U.S. In the news today. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, you know, as far as themes to invest in the market, I mean, obviously AI continues to be the best theme in the market for now. But, you know, let's not forget that whole GLP-1 weight loss thing. Novo Nordisk won 3,071 prescriptions for its Wegovy pill. And let's not forget, Lilly's pill is on the way. It has not been approved yet, but they're saying in the first quarter of this year, which we're in right now, on the first days of its launch, 3,071 U.S. prescriptions for the oral GLP-1 agonist in the first 4 days of its commercial rollout. The company launched the product at $149 per month for cash-paying customers on January the 5th, and subsequently retailers such as Amazon joined the rollout. Okay, now you can get it on Amazon, so it's becoming available to the masses. And I think it will have a tremendous, I know there's a lot of controversy. I've received some emails about the danger of it and whatnot. Personally, I haven't seen anything yet because, let's not forget, these drugs have been in use for a long time in diabetes, okay?
A long time. I was just reading an article about, the usage, the name, like, so Wegovy, for example, is pretty close to hitting its patent cliff in terms of generic options about to be available for Wegovy, and so but that tells you that these drugs have been around. GLP-1s have been around for an extended period of time and been out in the population for a long time, and it's this is just really an additional use that they've found for it, right?
I think there's more risk in carrying 50 extra pounds around your
probably,
belly.
Probably, I would agree.
Than giving your shot into the belly once a week and curbing your appetite and getting control over. I think it's a miracle drug. That's where I stand.
And the main issue, the main issue has really been around, muscle loss. But then, of course, that's why, Costco is packed full of protein and people are getting replacement proteins in other ways now, to combat some of the muscle loss and other things from a skeletal standpoint.
Yes. And if you do a little weightlifting and a little exercising the way, too, I mean, that goes. But I see people trapped. I was at a Mexican restaurant that's kind of my Friday thing, you know. I like to go out. Chips and salsa somehow cure all ills, all the stress of a week of looking at stock charts. And a little mariachi band or whatnot, you know. And I saw a guy come in. He must have weighed 400, 500. He couldn't even fit in the booth. And I thought, you know, that poor guy, he's trapped in that body. And really, nothing else is going to work. I know that that would work for him. I know beyond any shadow of a doubt. I almost feel like starting a foundation of some sort and offering, giving somebody a card saying, hey, if you need help, if you're interested, I'll help pay for your, which I've done. I've helped people that, and they, one lost 90 pounds, another one lost 50 pounds. I helped them out a little bit, and members of my family too. I just think that if there's help, and it's easy to do, why wouldn't you do it? $149 per month compared to carrying that kind of weight and what it's doing to your heart and to your joints and to everything, your liver, everything, your kidneys, it's overworking everything. Okay, so anyways, I am a big believer. There's two companies right now. One is Lilly, one is Novo Nordisk. There's going to be a lot of Johnny-come-latelys. Pfizer wants in on it. I think Biogen was another one that I read. Regeneron is another one. A couple others that are working on obesity drugs. Maybe they'll be over the counter at some point in time at Circle K. I don't know. As you're getting your
close enough, sandwich. You can get it from Amazon, I guess. Close enough, right?
Get it on my doorstep. Yeah, I mean, you can get it from Amazon. That's even better than Circle K. So anyways, that's another big, you know, a big theme, those two stocks. They haven't even begun to scratch the surface of the market, the size of the market that would benefit from this. And with the price coming down, I just see it as being a good investment. I really do. Okay, Wedbush, and I agree with this, they say the earnings that are coming out from tech are a validation of AI. And I totally agree with that. I mean, but not it's not lifting all boats. I've watched Microsoft. That stock is sinking right now. It's actually kind of breaking down a little bit. You know, they're ChatGPT. So anyways, it's not lifting all boats. You still have to be a stock picker within the AI sector. Because there's winners and there's losers, and obviously Micron is one of the winners in the AI sector. Taiwan Semiconductor, obviously one of the winners in the AI sector. ASM Lithography. But then you have companies like Intel and others that aren't. They're being left behind. You still have to be a stock picker, even inside of a red-hot industry. Okay, well, you know what? I've got a three-day weekend. We've got a three-day weekend coming up. I got a lot of time to do some extra research. That's always fun. Get the newsletter out tomorrow. We were pretty active in the market this past week. I want to say maybe I added five, somewhere in there, new stocks from not AI stocks either, from different sectors in our portfolios. And all of the portfolios saw some new buys this week. There may be some more today as new opportunities emerge all the time. And, you know, I try to stay at where those opportunities are, wherever I find them. If you'd like to get 4 weeks to the newsletter, the live alerts, access to the portfolios, and the app, which drives it all. It's the engine that drives it all, the research here at Gunderson Capital Management. Go to our website at GundersonCapital.com. It's like nothing else you've ever seen. You're not going to be reading about dinosaur stocks of yesteryear. And if you'd like to take advantage of our portfolios and our money management, set up an appointment with us. 855-611-BEST. Edie will set you up with one of our advisors, 855-611-BEST, or GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day. Have a great weekend, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.